morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So delighted to see you this morning. I have a couple of announcements to share with everyone. The first announcement is, I apologize, it's not in the bulletin, but we are going to ordain and install new officers after the sermon before our closing hymn. This will probably take 5 or 10 minutes. I apologize that it's not in the bulletin. Second announcement is we are going to have our deacons meeting immediately following church in, well, around immediately following the church service in the library. This is for new deacon members and old deacon members. We're all going to try to get together and make some plans for the new year. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Did I miss anything? Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us continue to worship God with our call to worship. Look, here is the Lamb of God. Jesus calls, come and see. The Lord is about to do a new thing. Speak, O God, for your servants are listening. There are varieties of gifts, services, and activities. But there is one Spirit, one Lord, and one God. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, number 612, We Praise You, O God. Please join with me in our prayer of confession. O Lord our God, you call us to work for a world where all will be fed and have dignity, but we find ourselves distracted by our own desires. You call us to seek justice and peace, but we are satisfied with injustice and discord. You call us to bring liberty to the oppressed, but we do not insist on freedom for all. Forgive us, O Lord. Turn us to your will by the power of your Spirit, so that all may know your justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Believe the good news and give thanks. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
As it
profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith.
This is for Charlene. This is a friend of Roy Weckerly's. She is on dialysis looking for a nursing home till she's better. She's in Shadyside Hospital right now, so please keep her in your prayers. And then we have a praise request for Sandy Salmon. Our Lord has brought me through once more. My test results are great and I am doing fine. Praise our Lord. Thank you for all your prayers. And I'd like to continue to keep John Neff's family and Linda in your prayers. Thank you.
Two additional prayer requests to add to the list. First is if you could keep my mom in your prayers. She's doing well, she's up and she's moving, but she's a little bit bored. When I spoke to her as I was driving between the two churches, she said something about reorganizing her desk. I think she's off for another 7 weeks. So hopefully she's able to find something to do now that she's home and recovering. Also, if you could keep Frank in your prayers, he's going to be traveling this week, and the weather is not great. It's supposed to warm up towards the end of the week, but please keep him in your prayers. Finally, I have a praise to offer. We are going to be ordaining and installing new officers later in the service, which is wonderful. It's always really great to watch men and women say yes to serving the church in this way. So we will thank God for that. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our hymn of meditation, number 721. Lord, you have come to the lake shore.
Thank you.
be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship and, forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life in a broken world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we lift up to you Charlene and Pat. We also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we continue to pray for the family and friends of John Neff, particularly his wife, Linda, as they mourn his passing. Lord, we also pray that you be with Frank as he travels this week. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Sandy is doing well and that her test results were positive. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the men and women who have agreed to serve the church in her ordered ministries this year. We pray that you would be with them as they live into their calling. We pray especially that you'd be with them during times of difficulty or conflict. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and may we do as you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from John 1, 29 to 42. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following him, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated is anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus and looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Praise be God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, I had a student from the seminary come and ask if she could observe our session meeting. She's taking a course this term on Presbyterian polity, and she needed to observe a session meeting and write a paper on it. One thing that I noticed pretty early on in our session meeting was how quickly we all slipped into what I like to call church talk. Church talk is the shorthand that we use with one another because we assume that everyone knows what we're talking about. So for example, if you look in the bulletin, the last line under the announcement says, "Per capita for 2020 is 3479. Everybody knows what we're talking about when we say per capita, right? So the 3479 is the amount of money that we have to send to Presbytery every year per member that we have in the church. This money supports the ministry and mission of Presbytery that in turn supports us throughout the year. But I suspect that there are some among us that don't know what per capita is. And if they are members of our church, they may be a little bit too embarrassed or shy to ask what this is. When folks talk about per capita as though this were something that we all understood, and there are some of us who don't know what this is, people can feel dumb or like they're maybe not really a part of our community. Our session meeting on Sunday, when we had a student sitting in the corner with this befuddled look on her face for most of the meeting, reminded me of the danger of using church speak as though we all understand what we're talking about. I bring this up because you'll notice in our scripture passage for this morning, John the Baptist loves to use church talk, particularly around this idea of Jesus being the Lamb of God. What does he actually mean when he says this? My best guess is that John means to compare Jesus to the lamb sacrificed at Passover. In the Jewish tradition, Passover is the celebration of the night that the angel of death passed over Jewish homes that were marked with the blood of a lamb. These houses were marked with the blood of a lamb because lamb's blood is pure and precious and expensive. But while the lamb blood spared Jewish believers that night, human beings cannot overcome the power of death on our own. When John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, what he means is that Jesus is going to take care of the problem of death once and for all. But we aren't there yet. You'll notice that our scripture reading for this morning comes from the first chapter of John. John is, for lack of a better word, skipping ahead in the story. But he also forgot to tell us the beginning. You'll notice that unlike Matthew and Mark and Luke, there's no story of Jesus' birth in John. We have no idea where he comes from. But John also leaves out most of the middle part of the story. You know, the stories of Jesus teaching and preaching and healing the sick. So now that you have this context, you can kind of understand why the disciples are confused as to who this Jesus person is. So the next day, John the Baptist tries again. Look, he points, the Lamb of God, pointing at Jesus. The disciples decide to approach Jesus and start following him. Jesus notices this, and he says, "What are you guys doing?" And they ask, "Who are you?" But rather than tell the disciples who he is, Jesus says, "Come and see." So the disciples spend the day with Jesus. Remember, an ordinary day with Jesus involves preaching to thousands, getting food to people who don't have food, and healing people who are sick with diseases that can't otherwise be cured. Having spent the day with Jesus, having witnessed the transformative power of Jesus, the disciples believe. Andrew, one of the disciples, then goes and finds his brother Simon and says, "Hey, I need you to meet this person." And he brings him to Jesus. Simon eventually becomes the disciple known as Peter, one of Jesus's most trusted disciples, because of this encounter. What struck me as I reflected on this passage this week is the difference between being told about Jesus and having an encounter with Jesus. John the Baptist does a beautiful job of telling the disciples about Jesus. He gives them language to help them make sense of this mystery unfolding in front of them. He shows them how Jesus fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. He testifies of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on Jesus. But it isn't until the disciples have an encounter with Jesus that they believe. It isn't until they spend the day with him, walking alongside him as he goes about his day, that they realize, ooh, Jesus here is the real deal. As the disciples lead others to Jesus, they can use John's beautiful words to help them describe who Jesus is. But these words are meant to draw others into an encounter with Jesus. They're not a substitute for meeting him themselves. This got me thinking, how can we create opportunities for people to encounter the living Jesus in our life together? One way I hope to do this is by recognizing and perhaps cutting down a little bit on the church talk, particularly around visitors and new members, but really around everyone. If someone doesn't know which book in the pew is the hymnal, show them. If somebody asks you where the bathroom is, don't just tell them, take them there. If we want people to encounter the living God in worship, then we all need to work together to remove the barriers that inhibit people from encountering God. Another way that I hope to help people encounter the living Jesus is by offering a Lenten book study. This year, we're going to go through the Celebration of Discipline. I promise I will have more information about this in our next newsletter. I'm hoping that we can journey through this book during Lent as we're preparing our hearts and our minds for Easter. also hope that this will be a study that's accessible to everyone and will have some practical implications in our lives. A final way that I hope to help people encounter Jesus is by creating opportunities for folks to serve the church in her ordered ministries. A few Sundays ago, we installed our new officers at Mount Nebo. This morning, we're going to ordain and install our new officers here at Glenshaw Valley. Just as the disciples encountered Jesus through his service to others, others will grow in their faith through our service to them. Also, trust me when I say, there is no better way to test your faith than to serve in one of the ordered ministries of our church. Because as you serve, you will learn to rely on God and not yourself. In new and sometimes scary, but always exciting ways. Friends, as we prepare to go from this place, I hope we will all consider how we might encounter the living Jesus in the coming days and weeks and months leading up to Lent. And once we have seen Jesus, how we might believe. And having believed, how we might tell others of the light of Christ that has come into the world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, friends, before we sing our closing hymn, we are going to ordain and install our new officers. So if you are a new officer in 2020, so just a reminder, that would be Roy, Cliff, Lynn, Kathy, BJ's not here because she's sick, but we'll install her anyway, Sandy, and Janet. If you want to join me in the front, we will start with our service. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the Church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as elders, as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the Church, assuring that his ministry continues among us, providing for ministries of caring and compassion in the world, ordering the governance of the church, and preaching the word and administering the sacraments.
Representing the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the session of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church now ordains Roy Weckery to the office of elder and installs him to active service on his respective ward. The session also installs to active service those who have been previously ordained: Cliff Huff, Lynn Love, Kathy Enredo, BJ Morrison, Sandy Sen, and Janet Weckerly.
So, friends, I have some questions for you, and at the end of the question, I will prompt you on how you can respond, so don't panic. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him as Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So please say, I do.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable exposition of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? If so, please say, I do and I will.
I do and I will.
Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? So please say, I will.
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend amongst your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? So please say, I will.
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? So please say, I will.
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? So please say, I do.
I do.
Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? So please say, I will.
I will.
Okay, so this next set of questions is for Cliff, Lynn, and Roy. Will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in the governing bodies of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
This question is for Sandy, Kathy, and Janet. I remember this. Will you be a faithful deacon, serving in the offices where people need guidance and where people need encouragement and where people need just extra special dose of Christ's love? Are you willing to serve people that are sometimes cranky and sick and difficult to be around, always remembering that you represent the light of Christ? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Excellent.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Roy as an elder chosen by God through the voice of the congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Say, we do.
All right, friends, I am going to pray for our new officers, but I invite and encourage you, if you are an ordained elder or deacon, to come forward and pray with me as we usher in this new class. If you guys could go this way, and people can come forward. Excellent. I only have one hand, but imagine that I'm putting a hand on all of you. Friends, let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your servants, whom you called for baptism as your own and marked as Christ's own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give them a spirit of truthfulness, that they may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Give them the gifts of your Holy Spirit to build up the church, to strengthen the common life of your people, and to lead with compassion and vision. In the walk of faith and for the work of ministry, give to your servants gladness and strength, discipline and hope, humility, humor, and courage, and an abiding sense of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Roy, Cliff, Lynn, Kathy, Sandy, Janet, and BJ, you are all now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ for this congregation. Be faithful and be true in your ministry, so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Lord. Congratulations. Amen. Friends, let us rise and join together for our closing hymn. The title and number will be on the slide. I can't remember it off the top of my head. 648. Thankful hearts and voice raised, 648.
Thank you.
from this place, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.